Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's February 11th, 2013, and I'm excited about our special guest in the studio with me. More to say about that in just a second. In fact, I'm really encouraged by his prayers for this program, and hopefully you're going to be fortified by what's said and shared and learn some of his faith journey and how maybe it's something that will cause you to appreciate this upcoming next generation that's going to be serving the Lord on our behalf. And I'll introduce him in just a second, but wow, the Illini last night, they pulled off another victory against a ranked team. Illinois beat Minnesota, so I think many of you probably watched that game or cheered on the Illini. Now, I know a lot of our Indiana listeners, you still want to be rooting for Indiana, and we appreciate you across the border, but so many of our radio listening family are U of I grads or U of I orange and blue clad listeners, so we're cheering on those fighting Illini. And yet we'll still say, go Indiana. You've got some great teams between Purdue and Indiana State. So great basketball weekend, lots of other activities. In fact, tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I'm going to have Gary Wackerlin in the studio, and we're going to talk about an upcoming movie that's going to come to the theaters, the Beverly Theater, in April, April 19th. It's called Home Run. I saw one of the sneak previews that some area pastors and media people got to attend and watch this. I think it's about an hour and 40-minute featured film, and I'm telling you, it brought tears to my eyes. In fact, my eyes just didn't get a little watery. A couple of these huge teardrops came down my cheeks. I couldn't even believe they were as big as they were, and I thought, wow, this movie is really touching my heart. But there's a whole redemptive story and how the person comes to Christ and the transformational work that's done in his heart and mind, and it restores him to his family. And, oh, wow, lots more to say about that tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you learned some godly truth that you'll put into practice today. Hopefully your pastor preached from the inspired word, from the Holy Scriptures, and really encouraged you in your faith journey. And hopefully that's our desire today, as in just a minute I'll introduce our special guest, Matt Slater, who serves at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. He's the youth leader, and he's a Ko'awana leader with me, and we're going to acknowledge our little boys in just a few minutes. But let me begin by reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And the reason I've chose this passage is one of Matt's favorite verses is in the midst of these verses. So I'm going to give you a little context, and I know many of you are familiar with this passage. It's so chock-filled with good things. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen. Let me go on a few more verses. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh, wow, Matt. Isn't that a great passage? And I'm grateful that you pointed out a verse here, and I just love Philippians. But why is this special to you?
Well, I think, Mark, multiple times in my life, especially over the past few years, this verse here in verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, there's a lot of times over this past 2 years that, you know, I needed the peace of God over the understanding that I tried to grasp on my own. And the fact that multiple times there was difficult things, difficult parts of my journey over these past couple years. I'll go and share that here in a second, just how I've come to Christ and how I decided to take this call that I have on my life and to follow Christ and to serve the local church as a pastor. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've been given.
And what's so unique or special, or why I'm so fortunate to have this program, if you will, called Mark and Friends, is I get to bring a lot of friends into the studio, and you're amongst some of my friends and somebody that I've been watching this last year. I guess I've known you a little over a year as you've been involved more and more at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and we've been co-teaching a classroom of boys, anywhere from 6 to sometimes about 13 different boys come into the classrooms. And just last night, again, we had, I think, 9, let's see, we had Jacob and Ethan and Zach, David, Grayson, Keegan, Sam, Chase, and then Luke was missing in action. Luke, you got to get through with that soccer season so we can have you come and join us again. But it was a great bunch, and we spent, what, about 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning trying to encourage all the boys to encourage each other. And then you did something unique, and I really appreciate it. You said, you know, Mark, let me take some time and point out different things in every single one of the boys that has been an encouragement to you. And then you went on to highlight different characteristics or tendencies or practices or different things about their personalities that you appreciated. And and then we, you know, I said, now, boys, each time he says something about you, your response is to be, thank you, Mr. Matt. But didn't you see their faces beam when you would say, you know, you're really a good athlete, and I like seeing how you compete, and you're kind and considerate, and they would just beam. And you talked about encouragement a little bit. Yeah, because each and every week for so many months, you do the council time, and you integrated something out of James and being an encourager to people. And so why do you put that energy and effort into spending time with the boys when you have a really full schedule? You serve at the church, you serve at Olive Garden restaurant, you have a girlfriend, you're busy activities, you're studying, you're in Bible college, so you have a pretty full plate. But I guess being 21, you can kind of juggle a lot of those things. But take us through some of your narrative, how you grew up, how you felt this calling on your life. And like I said, I think this is a special interview because so many of our listeners are senior saints. You know, they've been serving the Lord for many years. They're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. And it's encouraging sometimes for them to hear 20-year-olds, now you're 21, that are feeling led of the Lord, that want to serve him, that are kind of sold out. And so I think this will be kind of refreshing to hear some of your story because you're younger than many of the guests I typically have.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I get the privilege of teaching a lot of different ages. I teach, just as you were saying, the council time at Awana and being able to spend time with these third through sixth graders and being able to encourage them week in and week out is great. And even working with the youth group, I get to work with a little bit older kids, and I wouldn't even call them kids, students, junior high and senior high. I work with sixth grade through seniors in high school.
Do they go by like young men and young women? Do you use that yet?
I use guys and gals, and yeah, guys and girls, you know, and then even serving over at the assistant living home, Glenwood, and also Brattlebrook here in Mahomet. That's great to be able to serve them and be able to spend time with those senior saints.
And you do that usually about every other week, and sometimes you'll deliver even the message, right?
Yeah. I spend one Sunday a month, Jason Schiffo, which is the senior pastor at Community Free Church, and I, who's the youth leader at that church, we spend every other Sunday with Brattlebrook. So,
now, was this like a calling on your life from the time you were 4 years old? I'm going to serve the Lord, and this is what I'm going to do, work with the youth, work with seniors, get involved in a church? Or was there somewhat of that learning curve where, Lord, I want to make a lot of money and I want to be a great athlete? Because you even competed at the state level in track, right?
Right, absolutely.
So take us through some of your story. So in the studio with me is Matt Slater. He grew up, I'll give a little preview here. You grew up in the Peoria area, specifically in Washington, Illinois. I know you came to Christ at the age of 17, but maybe take us back through some of your younger years and just how you felt that calling on your life to be where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember growing up at Faith Lutheran Church in Washington, Illinois, and just being able to go there and spend time with the adults. They always told me that just spending time with them was special, and that I was always more mature than my age, and that was always an encouragement to me, you know. And I think that that's a big part of why I feel like Awana is so important in those churches, and being able to even shepherd the youth group and just being able to encourage them. Started out in Faith Lutheran there in Washington, Illinois. I grew up, family and I stopped going to church at about 12. Just kind of went Sunday to Sunday, just kind of, you know, watching cartoons and messing around, going and hanging out with friends and everything. And it really wasn't until I got into high school that I really started kind of getting back into church. You know, church to me was kind of always that boring day of the week that you had to go sit in the hard wooden pew and listen to a pastor speak. And it just wasn't until I got into high school that I really understood what it really meant to follow Christ.
Now, is that when Dustin became a part of your friendship in your life?
Yeah, Dustin became a big part of my life when I was attending a youth group with a good friend of mine. We would drive 25 minutes my junior and senior year to Pekin, Illinois, and attend a youth group there at Pekin First Baptist Church. And I had a youth pastor there named Nate, and he was just a great speaker, just great to be able to spend time with and be encouraged by him. Met Dustin there. He helped out with the youth group.
Now, be honest, were there some girls there? Was that some of the draw or the attraction to go to this youth group?
I think at the time, there was definitely that, just with my buddy and I.
Sure.
So it was kind of funny and being able to meet people that were outside of the community too. Mm-hmm.
And then you said that you started hearing these encouraging messages. At this point in your life, you're 15, 16, 17 years old. Are you reading the Bible? Did it seem to have like spiritual significance, or was it just an interesting book?
Yeah, the Bible really was just more of an interesting book. I wouldn't say that I didn't believe in God, but I definitely wasn't following him at all. And, you know, played sports all through middle school, got into high school, still played sports. Sports were my idol. Sports were my God. And the football field was my church. And that's where I learned a lot. I learned a lot about friendships, what friends were and who those people were. And it wasn't until I really stopped playing sports and started acting and got involved with more of the extracurricular activities like student council and stuff that I really started meeting some good friends.
Now, when did that transitional point come where you started recognizing you needed the Savior, that there was this God, that there is right and wrong, there are some things that you're supposed to follow and do and certain guidelines that you should keep? But when did it become more and more personal where I want to follow this Jesus because of what he did on my behalf? When did your faith really take root?
Right. Well, I always joke because I dug out a little while back the first message I gave, and I gave my first message at a youth group that I was going to in Washington before I even accepted Christ, and gave it on James, actually. But anyways, I started going to this church in Pekin, and I remember it was when I went to a summer retreat with a friend of mine, and didn't really know if I wanted to go that much, and he really encouraged me, and I finally decided to go to it, and it was a great experience. I remember having a lot of fun, meeting a lot of new people, and that's really when, from that weekend on, I remember driving home with my buddy and really telling him that, hey, I'm following Jesus now, and I want this to be a lifelong thing, and I can't imagine ever not doing it.
And what was it? Was it a message? I'm prying a little, very intentionally, because there's many people that might be tuned in now that go to church or are moral or do the right thing, but they never came to terms with that they really needed a Savior or what Jesus did on their behalf, where, like, wow, Almighty God sent his Son who died for me, who shed his blood on my behalf for my sin. When did it become real personal where you just connected knowing that you needed the Savior and you asked him into your heart?
Well, it was definitely that weekend that reconciliation happened. And just like most pastors, you know, you sometimes speak messages that are a little bit lighter, and then you finally come to that point. And it's really hard to be light when you talk about your Savior dying on a cross for you and saving you from separation with him for eternity. It's amazing.
Now, you mentioned early on that you really love verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I know you this last year or two have been really kind of stretched, and I won't say that your peace was taken from you, but it's like, wow, Lord, I'm in the midst of a lot of different changes, and I'm leaving my folks, and I'm going to Bible college, and I'm trying to navigate through working and study and serving at a church. And so I'm sure your apple cart of everything being nice and peaceful and calm and quiet has taken on some turbulence, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that kind of takes us in when I really started feeling called. You know, Dustin, as we mentioned earlier, became a big part of my life when I was probably about 18. Met back up with him actually on a Sunday morning at Pekin First Baptist. We started talking again and said, hey, you know, we need to spend some time together, get together on a Friday. So I remember we met up at a restaurant, spent some time talking, and I remember going back to his car and talking more, and him saying that he had a friend and kind of telling me a little bit about this guy. And I said, no, he sounds pretty interesting. He sounds really interesting. And Dustin said, he's awesome. And I'd love for you to meet him.
And some of our listeners are going to be very familiar with his name. And you did meet up with this individual. And you know firsthand the importance of having other godly people pouring into your life or mentoring. Or I think the word he uses where you refine each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This relationship began to bloom. And this individual, a little older than you, took an interest in you. And I guess you started meeting up with him.
Right. I remember Dustin and Jason and I.
Jason. Could that be my co-host
familiar
on Wednesday and Friday? You mean Pastor Jason Schiffo?
Pastor Jason Schiffo, yep. We met up at Starbucks on a day and spent some time with Dustin and him. And I remember Dustin sitting in a lounge couch almost, and Jason and I sitting across from each other, you know, drinking coffee and spending some time talking. And he started talking to me, and I kept talking to him. And I remember Dustin, slowly but surely, that angle kind of changed, and he kind of kept leaning back, and slowly but surely, I think he fell asleep at some point after about 2.5 hours of Jason and I talking. So.
And that was a beginning of a relationship where really you and Jason continued on, where he began to disciple, pouring into you, challenging you to grow, to read scripture. I guess you would talk often, and that began not only to deepen your relationship, but that's one of the reasons you're in our area now, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We started talking after that. He was finishing up his degree through Liberty University, and so we started spending some time together, and slowly but surely kind of grew in our relationship with each other. And I remember talking to him one night, and I just said, you know, what is it like to have a calling on your life? What is it like to have a calling into ministry? Because at that time, I had never really talked to anybody about it. I didn't really know what it looked like.
And you're like 19 at the time, 19, 20?
It was like 18, 19 years old. It was right after I graduated and that we really started spending time together. So I was a freshman in college. I really just kind of all this college stuff was new to me. Didn't really know much about it. So.
And then when did that calling start to fall into place where you began to attend Liberty University, where you started taking classes online?
Yeah, Jason actually was taking them through there, and at first I was really looking into another Bible college and really thinking that was where I was going to go, and worked out at a camp with, you know, younger kids all summer long. Didn't really have time to, investigate other colleges or anything like that. That was the college that I was going to. And within the last probably month, maybe to 2 weeks, right before fall semester would start, I finally decided to do Liberty. Things just weren't lining up with the other college. And started doing Liberty. It was a really fast change, but it's been a blessing in what I've been able to do.
And then what, the call about a year ago where the Community Evangelical Free Church, the elders and deacons, along with the recommendation of Pastor Jason Schiffel, hey, how about we take this Matt on as an intern? Was that about a year ago?
That was last April, around last April, that was happening. You know, at the time, I was back in the Peoria area. I was teaching at some churches, little Baptist churches, and just being able to spend some time in those, getting really good experience, getting refined just as a young preacher, and even spending time in Peoria Christian High School teaching chapel there. So just kind of getting a diverse kind of learning experience within what it meant to be called into ministry. And the church gave me a call, and Jason was saying, you know, we're looking for a youth leader. We really think that you know, you would fit really well. Yeah, let me backtrack a little bit. At first, I had gotten a call to come and help out with kind of shepherding the kids at Winter Jam and spending time as a chaperone, getting to know them and everything like that. Just fell in love with them, and that's kind of where I'm at now with leading them at the church. Just kind of a funny thing before, I remember coming when Jason first started, which was about a year and a half ago at the church, and him saying, you know, it would be so cool if someday we could kind of meet back up and do ministry together. And I remember him saying that he was praying about it. Something I was praying about too. He was a great mentor in my life, and slowly but surely God orchestrated that and brought me here. So
yeah, well, I've appreciated getting to know you the past year and attending Awana together and being co-leaders of the same classroom of boys that are just are great. But in our closing minute or two, what would you say maybe to that young person that's contemplating the same thing you were contemplating? Might there be a call on my life, or how can I discern if there's a call on my life? What would you say to that young person?
Yeah, I would say to the young person that's kind of considering that, first of all, is testing it. And I think that God is a God that wants us to be able to test that. Just being able to get involved with different things. I kind of claim that there's these kind of five pillars of preparation. And that's getting kind of your hands dirty and serving, whether it be serving within the church, serving. I know I served as a janitor, and just being able to serve those people, being able to preach and calling up churches that maybe needed a pulpit filled, and being able to get in there and really teach, being able to encourage others, whether it be maybe writing Facebook comments to people or just doing those things. Even it came down to a point where I decided at last Winter Jam to start sponsoring a kid from Holt International, and just being able to know what it meant to really give back to people. I think those are all super important. I think those will really be able to refine that feeling of a calling and really make you know maybe that the different parts of it. So.
And I think you also mentioned off air writing some things down and putting something on paper and begin praying about it and thinking it through and asking others to advise or counsel or direct, and people that can see different skills or abilities that you have. Let's close out with an encouraging word or two to some people that are close to you, because we began the program talking about how important encouraging one another is and how we did that at Awana last night. But isn't there a girl in your life that could probably use an encouraging word, maybe even your folks?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate all the people that are encouraging my life. My folks back in Washington, and just them raising me and giving me kind of the foundation that I needed to get to the point where I am, and I'm very appreciative of them and my sister, and then also my girlfriend here in Mahomet, and just meeting up with her and her just being able to encourage me, help out with the youth, encourage me sometimes when I kind of get down and feel like maybe I'm not called to ministry, you know, and it's really good to be able to have those people in your life.
Yeah, I can tell from many of the Facebook postings, you and Allison have a fun time together and some of those fun videos and little postings all the time. So, yeah, it's great how God can bring close friends into our lives to encourage us all along. So in closing, maybe one of the life lessons for all of us today is just to encourage one another. There's so many different positive ways that we can influence other people, draw them closer to the Lord just because of an affirming word or a kind task or just being considerate or affirming or loving. So let's care for one another today, everyone, and go out and start this new week with a good word from the Lord. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.